This is the Shirt Factory Center Stage. Jim Hoffer and Kim Schaller take you behind the scenes. It's conversations with musicians and artists who are performing right here at the Lidded Shirt Factory.
It's a place where people can really get together and have great sound, great music, and great beer.
We have Collusion Tapworks Brew Pub on the first floor and the Shirt Factory live music venue upstairs.
A great music vibe.
I love the intimacy of it.
Being with friends who like the things that you like really good music.
This is the Shirt Factory Center Stage. Let's go.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Jim. What's up?
What's up with you?
Nothing. Nothing. I'm excited for this episode. God, I sounded like you for a second there.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're supposed to say I have a really special guest.
I know. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, special, okay. Special guest. But so what'd you do this past week? Anything interesting?
Oh, you know what? I would like to talk a little bit, just for a second, about us playing pickleball.
Oh.
Come on.
No.
Come
no,
on.
You didn't just say pickleball.
I did. I know. So that's the dead giveaway that we're in our 60s of a certain age.
I mean, nothing says, yeah, passing into old age like I just played pickleball.
But we did. So that I just wanted to bring up that we played pickleball this week.
Together, and, actually.
Yeah, together with a group of people, and it was a lot of fun. And we are sore as can be from playing. How bad?
You know, I thought pickleball. I mean, I went in there with this attitude. I mean, I knew it does take skill, but I thought I'm certainly in shape. I'm not. It's not going to impact my body in any way. I swim, I cycle, I run.
Right.
After 2 hours of pickleball, I felt like I was in a car accident. I mean, seriously.
Yep. I know. I told you with all the lunging and reaching and it is. It's a good workout. Would you admit that?
Yeah, I think it is a good workout. And it's also a great workout for the brain. Just trying to figure out how to keep score
to
in
keep
pickleball
score. Right.
Is like the biggest brain tease out there.
It's great. I'm glad that we're playing, though. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's really the only thing I want to do.
The scoring pisses me off.
I know it does, Jim.
It's just ridiculous.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
There are rules. You hate following rules. That's part of your personality.
So, gosh, I thought we were going to talk about a few other things, weren't we?
Well, yeah. Well, but here's my thing. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that sort of shout out or
Kim's shout out?
We're not forcing them. Only if there was something, because I had something.
What is it?
Mine was a shout out to some new streaming shows. Because here's the thing. There are so many things to watch on streaming. Unless someone gives you a recommendation, I think things get missed. So I want to recommend to everybody out there, Call My Agent. It's on Netflix.
Where'd you hear about that?
You told me. You told me. So Call My Agent, Succession, we totally love. And I also love another one on Hulu called The Great. So it's about Catherine the Great of Russia, but it's a comedy and it's really, really good. So those are just my three recommendations for TV.
And is Catherine the Great, is it episodic? Is
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
It's season two. It's just really
But it's a
good.
Comedy?
It's a comedy. It's a complete
oh,
comedy.
That's cool.
Yeah. So do you have anything?
Well, you know, I do. Speaking of comedy, it's kind of a comedy, maybe a dark comedy, but... It's Ricky Gervais. He stars in it. He wrote it. It's called Afterlife. And, you know, this is the third season now that is coming out, mm-hmm. which I'm really excited about. Season one and season two. I mean, I have to tell you, it's incredible. I mean, it is, I think it's profound. Mm-hmm. I think this is actually, if you can use profound and TV in the same sentence, mm-hmm. I think this is an incredible series.
It's called Afterlife.
Afterlife.
On where? Is it on Netflix?
It is on Netflix, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I highly recommend it.
See that? Look at that. We are just so full of great information.
Oh, but you also have a pet peeve.
I do.
This week.
I do.
Can I go with mine first?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Surveys.
Oh.
I mean, every time you buy something or mm-hmm. use a service, there's a mm-hmm. survey. Honestly. What's going on? When did this happen?
Marketers gone haywire. I swear to God, it's ridiculous.
And once in a while, I usually never respond. It's like, no, I'm not doing your survey.
Yeah.
Once in a while, like, oh, I really like this product. Why, you know, mm-hmm. let's do it. And I begin, and it's like, okay, question eight. Question. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm done. And I never finish it.
I know. And I'll tell you, CVS is the worst. I mean, it's one thing to go and get a prescription and get some advice from a pharmacist. Then you want to give some feedback. But when you go in and buy foot pads or Q-tips and they're asking for how was your experience, it's just over the top.
But isn't it mad?
Agree.
It's maddening.
Oh, it's maddening. I delete them right away.
But why wouldn't marketers of some of these, you know, great, you know,
Big brands
stop. Say you're annoying and harassing your customers.
It's a huge adjutant. I know. I don't know. Oh, no. Okay, so that's a good one. That's a good pet peeve.
What's yours?
It's wind.
Breaking wind?
No. Wind. The air outside when the temperatures are like this. If it's 20 degrees, I don't mind without any wind. But when it's 40 degrees with winds, I cannot. I hate wind, and I have to be out every day because I have a big dog, and I have to walk him every day for at least an hour. So I'm in the elements, and wind is my pet peeve. That's it. Okay, move on. Let's get on with the show. Oh, is that your wind impersonation? Oh, my God. Okay. So you're annoying me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. That's an interesting pet peeve. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I am really excited.
I know. You're about, so excited.
About our guest.
Right.
Because this guest has actually graced our stage at Lidditz Shrimp Factory. Has come all the way from Manhattan. Mm-hmm. He has played in some of the great nightclubs and cafes in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And so
okay,
I'm really, really, really psyched. Well, you know him, Francois mm-hmm. Wisk, classical trained guitarist and his percussionist. And it's really an amazing act. I'm glad that...
he's back.
He's
back. Welcome back, Francois.
Francois, welcome to Shirt Factory Center Stage.
Thank you very much. So happy to be here.
Thank you for coming back to the Lidditz Shirt Factory.
Thank you for
having us. You know, you had the Lidditz Shirt Factory first encore standing ovation.
Really?
You did, yes.
How about that?
What did we do to deserve that?
Memorable.
Well, you played an incredible set. That's what you did.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
And I'm really looking forward to tonight as well. But I guess one of the first things I wanted, you know, to start off and ask you about is your childhood, because I assume that it informs your music today, correct? You grew up in Paris, right?
I grew up in Paris, yes. And, well, actually, no one in my family was an active musician, but everyone was at one point or another a musician. And so my father used to play the guitar. I never heard him play. My grandmother used to play the violin. I never heard her play. My grandfather used to play the banjo. I never heard him play. But I have two of his banjos survived, and they were part of my everyday life because I also grew up with my grandparents. And so the banjos were around, and they were quite broken. And so the banjos were around, but I never heard him. And I brought those two instruments here in the United States with
nice.
Me in my suitcase. Not quite in my suitcase, but I brought them with me. And one of them I use now. It's a very nice instrument. And I have photos of my grandfather playing. Also, his dad was an accordion player. So my great-grandfather was an accordion player. And they used to play together and have a bunch of photos of their bands. And also when he was a prisoner in Germany, they also had a band with some friends there. And so music was a big part of my childhood, but as a rebel, I would say.
And didn't you play the piano? You first started playing the piano.
Yes, absolutely. My family signed me for conservatory classes of piano, which I absolutely hated. Hated so much. It was quite traumatic because imagine a bunch of old guys, you know, judging a six-year-old kid saying, "You'll do something in music. You won't do anything in music." You know, it was very.
So you didn't initially take to it.
Not at all. Not at all. No. But I think you have to rebel and you have to look for it. You know. You have to crave it.
Well, how did the guitar come about?
Yeah, how did you start craving that?
Well, you know, I grew up in the early 80s, so heavy metal was big.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't have access to a lot of media, to a lot of music, either on TV or radio. It was very, very, very rare to be able to hear heavy metal. So, you know, we would buy... You know it was. We would buy records, find a few records we could get our hands on, and absolutely wanted to play the electric guitar, which I did.
But when did you start learning, you know, the classical, the flamenco?
And I don't
sell yourself short. I mean, my understanding is that you studied with some of the great masters of flamenco and classical guitar playing, right?
I did, you know, on and off episodically, but I also studied with some less glorious people. You know, I was telling you, trips in Spain, I would learn even with kids what was going on. But my love for Spanish music and this particularly, I mean, I love the music, but I also love the guitar technique, which, you know, is very rich and very very dynamic. And so in Paris, I was playing at the time some French songs, French chansons. And I met an Algerian guy who was homeless, and he was playing on a terrible broken guitar. His name is Belaid. And I heard this guy playing, and I thought that's what I absolutely want to do. So I studied with him. For years we used to play. I can tell you millions of funny stories. we would go to very infamous places, small, dirty, smoky, stinky, dangerous bars in Paris. And one of them in particular was very fun. The owner was a complete, a very unpleasant man. And he was also a big alcoholic. And so a lot of things happened there, and we would come and play few nights a week, and we would get fired every night. We were fired. I never want to see you
and
again.
Rehired.
Ever.
Why?
Because
he was just an old drunk.
And then next day, you know, he sees us down the street, and he's like, "My brother,
that's why. See you tonight."
Sounds like pretty wild years. Are you still in touch with
I am still in touch with
Algerian?
This guy. Yes,
you
yes.
Are.
But he moved back to Algeria, and I think he has a bakery now there.
Oh, wow. So you're a talented guitarist, but you're also I think you're a great singer. So when did singing become part of your mix?
Oh, God. Well, singing is, you know, I really picked it up by myself on my own. So, I've always more or less been singing.
Yeah.
Started with heavy metal again. So I don't know if it's a good school or not.
Well, so picture you singing heavy metal.
I can't
Francois.
Either. So who was your heavy metal the primary influences in terms of heavy metal?
Iron Maiden.
Oh, is that Kiss. Iron Maiden?
Iron Maiden, yeah, Kiss.
I dare you to do an Iron Maiden
Kiss.
Tonight.
Twisted Sister, and actually... recently, so I have a 5-year-old boy, and my partner was playing some music for him, and she's a little younger than I am, so I said no, not at all. That's not what it is. He didn't seem very very excited about it, and so I pulled out the Twisted Sister, "We're Not Gonna Take It" mm-hmm. video, and since then it's been 2 months, and he can't stop, and. I created a monster.
I'll
you know.
Say, because I find your singing to be so soothing and sensual, and it doesn't register to me that those are your early influences.
Well, you know, I kind of missed the train for a heavy metal career, you know, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Story of my life, I think. You
yeah,
know,
but timing, right?
Timing is key, and so I had to go to something else. I discovered afterwards some, you know, French poetry. And in my, you know, late teens, early 20s, I was more interested in poetry. And, you know, I got a little wiser and calmer, if I can say. So.
Well, and obviously at some point you latch on to Pink Floyd. I mean, and you start to do this as part of, you know, your repertoire,
yes,
correct?
But, once again, and on once again with the timing... was a little strange because my friend's older brothers were listening to Pink Floyd, but to me it was this, when I was a kid, and it was this mystery band that I really didn't have any interest in, and I really discovered them on the late side, you know, actually fairly recently, I would say maybe 20 years ago I started listening to Pink Floyd, and then completely by accident I started playing some. And the way I work with triple hyphens, the way I do things is I create the versions live, like while playing them, I improvise. Like I'm gonna have this idea of playing a tune, and so I create, you know, I play arrangements, and next time I play it differently, and I'm gonna pick up some different arrangements. So, and it's been going on always for me. You know, I have a problem sitting and finding arrangements. So I'm trying to analyze what are the pros and cons of it. The pros are, yes, I tend to play things differently and take risk. And even tonight, we're going to improvise a lot of what's going to happen, you know. And I'm not shy to, you know, take risk and go places, because when it works, oh my God, I can really feel, I have goosebumps, you know, and when it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
But how do you know when it works? Yeah. Is it feedback from the audience?
No. It's really when I feel something, when I have goosebumps, you know.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah. I wanted to ask you too. So you're saying that because you've been playing Pink Floyd for years now, yeah. So you don't get bored because you're always improvising. Is that it?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, some arrangements I keep, of course, you know, there's not a thousand ways, but sometimes there are tunes that I completely, I wouldn't say remodel, but, you know, change them quite a bit. And yes, I improvise. I mean, all solos are improvised. Structures can be improvised. Endings, mm-hmm. bridges, you know, and sometimes going to something completely different. I mean, after all, to me, I always also considered that songs, tunes were just an excuse to play music. I don't see much difference between tune number one and tune number two. You know, to me, they're just a bunch of chords put together and with a story told, but they're just an excuse to play music. You know, there's nothing, it's not rocket science, you know, it's all the same if I play, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I know what I think. I love watching you and watching the eye contact that you have with your partner percussionist at the time, just watching you and David play right now. Your eye contact and something within your body language is cueing, because there is so much improvisation, right?
That's right.
Your partner is critically important to the way it all comes out.
Oh yeah! Anytime he gives me a smile, you know,
I know that
we're going the right way. You know, I'm trying to, you know, I play with some very good guys too, and people that are very in demand. So I have to please them. You know, I have to be it's gonna sound weird if I say a good lover, but you know, we have to please each other when we play,
right.
and have fun. And I think that's why, you know, that's why they. We can play over the years together and not,
right,
not
because they enjoy it just as much as you do.
Enjoy it, yes.
Right. Hey, you're listening to Shirt Factory Center Stage Podcast with Kim and Jim.
I think you mean, Jim and Kim.
No, I mean Kim and Jim.
So in 2004, you decide to come to New York City. How did that come about?
And there was another accident. So I met a lovely... lovely American lady in Paris. She was studying, and of course, you know, that's what happens when you come to Paris. You meet some French guys. I mean, yeah,
it's so cliche.
It is cliche, but you know, you got.
It obviously
that's why
is
it's cliche, because it
yes.
happens over and over again.
That's right,
and happened,
you know,
to you.
And same, it works with every country. So anyways, we fell in love, and we spent quite a few years in Paris. And at some point, she was missing New York. She was from New York, so she missed it and missed her family. And you know, I tagged along, and I came with her, and man, do I love it.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, and did you right away fall into, you know, playing and performing in New York City?
Yes. Yeah, and I was very, you know, very so pleasantly surprised to see so much energy, and you know, the American way of doing things is obviously very different from the French way, and the energy was just unbelievable.
interesting you would say that, because that was a question I was wondering about. What is there a difference between the French audience listening to you play and American audience?
Well, I'm going to give two parts to the question, to the answer. One is going to be kind of a joke, and one is going to be more serious. I don't really know, Jim, because I've been here so many years.
That's a good
and,
point.
You know, I strongly feel American more than I feel French. I don't feel French anymore,
point.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm an
Fair.
American, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think the French audience, I don't know. They tend to drink a lot more, perhaps.
Wow.
No, that would make sense.
Kind of a joke, but...
That makes sense.
I don't know. I don't have much experience of playing in France, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, and it's been quite a while, like you
it's
said.
It's been a while, yes.
So why did you want to come back and play Shirt Factory again?
This place is amazing. The vibe is beautiful, and, you know, you're tremendous hosts, so...
Well, thank you.
It's a pleasure, you know.
It is a long drive. I'm surprised you say
Jim,
yes.
We would drive, you know, to the end of the world.
Keep it going.
To everybody who's, you know, I mean, it's not such a long drive at all. It's a pleasure, and it's a beautiful town, and
what a thrill to have you back.
Venue. This venue is, we had such a good time last time.
Yeah, it was really, really great, and you know, for me, it really is a dream come true, because I introduced myself to you back in, I think, 2016. This place was falling apart. I had just bought the building and had this vision of the, you know, having it as a live music venue. And I thought, I'm bringing Francois Wiss to Lititz.
I was telling David the story earlier. So David is the percussionist who's playing with me tonight, David Langlois. He's a tremendous guy. And so I was telling him the story that, you know, you approached us quite a few years ago, 5-6 years ago, and said, one day I will open a club and I will invite you to play. Sure enough, years later, you did. So thank you, Jim.
So it's always, for me, it's really, I don't know, it's kind of it's very profound for me
I can tell.
To have you here.
Right.
So I really appreciate it. And I think it's really great that you are the first performer in 2022 here at the Lititz Shirt Factory.
Thank you.
So thank you for coming back.
Can I ask you a question? How come you're such a music lover?
Oh, you know, that's a really good question, because I don't really, I'm not musical. You know, I try to play the guitar, but boy, do I suck, Francois. It's unbelievable. I'm just a hack. I don't know. I think it's because, you know, I had an older brother who was really into music, mm-hmm. and, you know, he turned me on to, you know, Grateful Dead and Steely Dan and Elton John and Crosby, Stills and Nash and on and on and on. The Beatles, of course. And I just so looked up to him. And, you know, I wanted to, it was the one thing that he and I could bond about was music, because he was quite a few years older than me. But when I talked about music, he'd listen. Oh, yeah, what are you listening? So I think that's kind of it. But I just love music, and I love live music a lot.
Yeah, I can tell your venue is amazing. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Good. Hey, you'll have to come back again. We'll do the hat trick. We'll
have you three times. He is scheduled.
Oh, you are scheduled. Good. Yeah. Okay.
We won't pressure you.
Okay.
So, okay. Thanks again, Francois.
Thank you. Thanks,
Say goodbye,
Francois.
Kim.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Jim. Goodbye, Francois.
Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Au revoir. Hey, while you're thinking about it, go to where you get your podcasts, subscribe, and give us a review.
Visit our website, lititzshirtfactory.com, to join our mailing list.
You'll get updates, event information, and lots of cool stuff. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Lititz Shirt Factory.
And don't forget, come to have a beer and a bite at Collusion Tap Works,
located right here at the Lititz Shirt Factory, 5 Juniper Lane in Lititz.